What in Town Crier, episode number 11, for December 21st, 2008, Lats. Everybody out in the internet land, this is Garrett with the Lawton Town Crier. Today we have with us Steve Scherer with the Lawton Area Transit System. I would like to welcome him to the show today. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Off the air a few minutes ago, we were talking a little bit about football. How about them Red Raiders?
That's right. We're looking forward to the upcoming battle with the Longhorns this weekend.
Would you like to make any predictions out there?
Well, you know, when Tech plays at home, they tend to have a home field advantage. So we're predicting a Tech victory, that's for sure. I don't like to take a shot at the scores, though.
It seems like a lot of those Texas teams have some sort of home field advantage, whether it's down at Memorial Stadium for the University of Texas, which lost, wishful thinking on my part, but barely won against OSU by 4 points, and then, of course, you know, the Corps Cadets and the rest of the 12th man at A&M down at Kyle Field. What kind of advantage does Texas Tech have, you think?
Well, you know, we have really loud fans, and, you know, it sounds crazy, but the Texas, you know, the West Texas winds play a part to a lot of these teams who don't deal with those types of environmental factors at their stadiums. So, you know, there's a lot to it, but there's a lot of history at Texas Tech and a lot of rowdy fans, so that definitely plays a part.
Okay. Now, let's talk about what's today's show, football aside. You work for what company, sir?
I work for a company called McDonald Transit Associates Incorporated.
Do they have a website?
Yes, they do. McDonaldTransit.com.
McDonaldTransit.com. What exactly is their business?
McDonald Transit is a transit management and consulting firm. We manage whole or part 31 different transit systems across the country. And the consulting contracts vary from time to time, but the majority of it is management of transit systems.
Is Lawton's area transit system the only one McDonald manages in the state of Oklahoma?
Yes, it is. We have had consulting contracts with Metro Transit in Oklahoma City. I'm not sure if we've consulted with Tulsa or Norman, but we're the only management contract in the state, in Lawton.
Okay. What about other surrounding states, Texas, Kansas, New Mexico, Arkansas, those sort of things?
We manage several systems in whole or part in Texas, Fort Worth being the largest.
The T?
The T in Fort Worth, yes. City Bus in Lubbock, Texas, my alma mater. That's where I started working at City Bus there before I came here. Waco Transit, Midland Odessa, Longview Transit. I'm sure I'm forgetting some, but there's several in Texas. We manage several cities in California, Florida. My mind goes blank now, but we manage a lot of systems in California, several in Texas, several in Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina. We manage part of their system.
Would it be fair to say that McDonald Transit is a nationwide company?
Definitely.
Okay. Are there any other cities about the size of Lawton for which McDonald is the consultant or the manager for?
I would say that Longview is probably similar size to Lawton. I would say that possibly Midland, Odessa. I'm not sure exactly what their population is nowadays, but they're probably in the same range. Yeah. So there are several. I mean, unfortunately, being the resident general manager here, I don't have as much. I'm not hands on with any of their systems because I focus all my attention on Lawton.
So, okay. Well, let's talk about the current bus system and as far as how it's set up. You are the general manager, and I noticed that in your office you have a dispatch office. Tell us a little bit about what the day-to-day operations are for you.
Well, on a daily basis, we start operating. Drivers start showing up at a little after 5:30 in the morning. We start operating our route service at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we operate 13 hours a day, Monday through Friday, on our fixed routes and our paratransit. On Saturdays, we also operate, but we only operate 12 hours a day. We start at 9 a.m. on Saturdays and operate till 9 p.m. During the weekdays, Monday through Friday, we operate 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And that's both our fixed route service and our curb-to-curb service that we call our paratransit service for the disabled population.
I see. Is that similar to the other bus systems that McDonald operates, such as the T or Midland-Odessa?
Yeah, I mean, all the systems operate the core services are going to be the same.
Okay.
The fixed route service and the paratransit service. Those are the two main services that you're going to find virtually anywhere you go, I would think.
Okay. So approximately how many drivers do you all have here that drive a fixed route?
We have anywhere from, it varies, but we have anywhere from 24 to 28 drivers.
Okay, and I'm going to assume that each one of those is not driving the same fixed route every day. You're going to vary that up a little bit, correct?
Right, the drivers actually bid on routes. So okay. we create run cuts, and then the drivers, based on their seniority, they bid on a route, and they say, this is the route I would like to have. It very well may be 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., 5 days a week. Or they range all the way from a 6 to 2 to a split, you know, to splits. So where somebody may come in and only work 4 days a week, but they work 10-hour splits.
Okay.
Each 4 days during the week.
Now, since you work for McDonald, you have a government entity that you have to deal with on a daily basis, and I refer to the Lawton Area Transit Authority. Is that correct?
It's actually the City of Lawton Transit Trust.
City of Lawton Transit Trust. Mm-hmm. Who makes up that?
It's the same members as the city council.
Okay. Do they have the same meetings as part of a city council meeting, or do they have a special meeting before the meeting, afterwards?
Typically, the format is that they'll have a meeting prior to the normal city council meeting.
Okay.
The second, fourth Tuesdays of the month, if necessary. Now, we don't have a meeting. We don't have two meetings a month because we don't necessarily have agenda items each every 2 weeks.
Okay. And the drivers that drive for the LATs, are they employed by McDonald, or are they employed by the Lawton Area Transit Authority?
They're employed by Lawton Transit Management Incorporated.
Okay, what exactly is that?
It's a subsidiary corporation that McDonald sets up, that McDonald has set up in Lawton. It's not a they're not McDonald employees, and they're not City of Lawton employees. We came in, we set up a separate corporation in the state of Oklahoma that now employs all our drivers, all our mechanics, all of our service employees, any staff members.
Okay, so are you employed by them, or are you employed by McDonald?
I'm employed by McDonald.
Okay.
I'm the sole employee of McDonald Transit in Lawton.
Okay, so how do you fit into their organization as far as this other organization, this subsidiary?
In Lawton Transit Management Incorporated?
Yes.
I'm the resident general manager for the system. So I oversee the Lawton Transit Management Incorporated, and I answer to the City of Lawton Transit Trust.
Okay. And what about McDonald? Do you answer to them in some capacity as well?
Yeah. I mean, they're my employer, so I answer to them just like any other employee, any of our employees answer to me. As far as their organizational chart, I answer to them. My employees answer to me, and in turn, I answer to two people. I
okay,
answer to
so
the trust, and I answer to McDonald. But the trust is the client. So
okay.
The Transit Trust is the client of McDonald. So they're the ultimate boss here.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Transit Trust. You have to agenda items, I'm sure, just like any other meeting, like with the city council and all that. How long do you have before you know you're going to have a meeting? Is it like a day, like we come in and like, ooh, we need to have a meeting or need to talk
no,
to them?
No.
How does that work?
We have to submit agenda items. For instance, we're going to be submitting items by this Friday. So by the 31st, we have to have our items in for the meeting on the 11th.
Okay.
So the Friday before, the Tuesday before is how I always look at it. It's kind of confusing, but we do have to have some notice and get those agenda items on there. We definitely don't sneak anything on.
Okay. Let us move on to your drivers. Do you have any positions open for drivers right now?
We actually do. We're accepting applications. We would like to hire a couple drivers at this point.
And what are the requirements to be employed?
Well, they got to be at least a minimum of 25 years of age, and that's a requirement of our insurance carrier. Have to have a high school diploma or GED, a clean driving record, and a clean criminal record. And that'll get you, that'll clear you to be offered an interview, most likely. We like to have people that have commercial driving experience, that already have a commercial driver's license, and we do look for that on applications, but we have been known in the past to train people and help them get their CDL.
Okay. Do you have a pretty high turnover rate here? Or?
You know, we have in the past. That has kind of slowed down, but right now I would say no, we don't.
Okay. What are some of the benefits somebody who is looking to be employed could expect to get?
Well, we offer a competitive salary for the area. We offer paid vacation time for full-time employees. We offer health and dental insurance, employer match 401k. We offer other little incentives that, you know, such as AeriVac memberships for our employees. We offer other things such as life insurance, employee-paid life insurance, and prepaid legal coverage and things like that that folks can take advantage of.
Okay, and are those offered through McDonnell or through the subsidiary?
Through Lawton Transit Management Incorporated.
Okay. What kind of corporation is the Lawton Transit Management Incorporated?
Specifically, what do you – I mean, what
– Is it like a – What kind of entity is it? I know it's incorporated. Is it a not-for-profit? Is it for-profit?
Lawton Transit Management Incorporated doesn't generate revenue.
Okay.
For itself. Any revenue that we generate is revenue that's owned by the trust.
Okay.
So all of our equipment, all of our furniture, all of our vehicles, maintenance equipment, that's all owned by the trust. So any revenue that's generated by Lawton Transit Management Incorporated is revenue that's owned by the trust.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about revenue. Does McDonnell work for the Transit Authority based on a contract?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about how that works. The Lawton Trust Authority comes to McDonnell and says, we'd like to have you run our bus system.
Not so much. Really what happens is the trust, when they initially created the transit system, it came about through years of planning, years of work with the community, different committees that were set up. Of course, this was all before I was a part of the system. But they go out for bid, and they go out and request proposals. They say, this is what... this is kind of an idea of what we would like to have as far as our transit system, and then they go out to bid for management services. So different management firms that do the same thing as McDonald, they come in and they submit a proposal saying, okay, this is the service that we can provide. This is, you know, they lay out all the aspects of the contract and what's going to happen if McDonald or whoever is chosen as the provider. So McDonald has been here in Lawton since 2002. We initially started with a 5-year contract. The trust went out for rebid after 5 years, which is a requirement of the Federal Transit Administration. So they had a 5-year contract. We fulfilled that contract. The trust was pleased with our performance. And then they went out for rebid after the 5 years was up and renewed our contract for an additional 5 years. With a 2-year option.
Okay.
So in 2000, I believe it was February 2007 was when the second 5-year contract started. So we'll be here till at least 2012.
Okay. So we have a contract, the Lawton Area Transit Authority. The city council, in other words, has a contract with McDonald to pay them money to run the bus system. Is that correct?
The Transit Trust has a contract.
Okay,
with
the Transit Trust.
Yes.
Okay. So they have a contract and they pay a certain amount of money to run.
They pay a monthly management fee is what they pay.
What is that fee right now?
I would have to look. I believe there was a recent change, but it's somewhere in the range of $10,000 a month is what the trust pays. It's a little bit more than that. It's between $10,000 and $11,000 a month is what the trust pays for McDonald's services.
Okay. What kind of revenue does the different ridership bring in per month?
Well, I mean, we bring in... for ridership itself, for directly generated passenger fares, we're going to bring in anywhere from $800 to $1,000 a day for a fixed route and paratransit. So if we operate for 25 days out of a month, we may generate $25,000 from fares a month.
Okay.
Now, we do generate revenue from other areas other than just fares.
Such as?
Advertising, charter services, things like that.
Okay.
So we do have an active advertising, we do actively advertise on our buses with vinyl wraps, the full vinyl wraps, the rear wraps, the signage. So we generate revenue through that those means as well.
Okay.
And then in addition, we also get we call revenue revenue that comes from the state of Oklahoma for the Transportation State Revolving Fund.
Mm-hmm.
That's based on operating mileage, and auditors come in and do audits each year to audit our mileage, and then it's a formula fund.
Okay.
So we do get a little bit of money from the state, but not much.
Okay. Let's go back to ridership real quick.
Okay.
How soon before you would know, say, a monthly ridership? Say, for example, it is towards the end of October now. Would you have the figures for, say, September's ridership?
Yeah, definitely.
What would be September of this year's ridership bid?
39,000. Sorry, my computer shut off here. 39,600, I believe, something
okay.
in that range.
How do y'all figure that basically?
We count every passenger that gets on the bus. So, I mean, we just...
Okay, does that include transfers or...?
Every time somebody boards a bus, that's what they're counted as a passenger.
Okay.
So when somebody gets on red route and they transfer to the green route, they're counted as a transfer whenever they board the green route, which does calculate as a passenger.
So you, in essence, you could count somebody twice for the same trip, correct?
For a trip, each trip on one bus is counted as a fare, I mean as a passenger. So I guess if you wanted to say that you can count them twice, that's, I guess, it's debatable.
Okay.
But we count each person that boards each bus.
Okay.
So they're not counted as a paying fare whenever they board with a transfer on a different bus. They're counted as a transfer, but they're still counted as a passenger.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll wait for you.
September was 39,629 passengers on the fixed route.
Okay, and that includes transfers, correct?
That does include transfers, yes,
okay.
It does.
Okay. What are y'all grossing per day as far as an average fare in September? Do you have that available?
Yeah, it's $800 to $1,000 a day.
Okay, so that's...
That's the fixed route and paratransit fares that we generate a day, yes.
Okay, and how do y'all come up with those fares?
How are the fares established, or how do we come up with the number that I've just told you?
How did y'all come up with the number that y'all told me? Is it just...
We count it.
Okay.
We go out there and physically count the money by hand.
Okay.
With coin counters, and so okay. we verify personally that's how much fares there are.
Okay. What is the typical fare these days for somebody to get on the bus and ride?
Well, as of October 1st, the fare changed to $1.25 for an adult, normal adult passenger.
Okay.
Which is 17 and older.
Okay.
The disabled fare went from 50 cents to 60 cents. Student fare is now 75 cents.
Okay. And how did that fare change go about? Did y'all just kind of have an epiphany and say, we need more money, or did you have to go and get permission to raise the fare?
Actually, the trust asked me to evaluate the fare increase.
Okay. Did you look at any other cities?
Of course.
What cities did you look at?
We looked at other cities in Texas that are close to us. We looked at Oklahoma City, Tulsa. We looked at cities on the West Coast, cities on the East Coast, and we referenced the American Public Transportation Association's database on fares, and realized that the average fare across the country is actually higher than the $1.25 that we went to.
Okay. So, does Wichita Falls have a bus system?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Do you know what they're charging right now?
I believe they charge $1.
$1. Okay. Would Wichita Falls be a comparable city to Lawton?
Sure. I mean, a lot of people like to compare Wichita Falls to Lawton.
Do you know why that would be?
Probably the population size.
Population size. Okay. And then my next question is going to go to buses. Right now, how many buses do you have on hand?
We have 16 revenue vehicles.
Okay.
14 of which are the fixed route buses that we've had since day one. And we have two additional vehicles that are used strictly for paratransit, which is, once again, our curb-to-curb service for the disabled.
Okay. How does the transit, the Lawton, I know I keep messing this up. The Lawton
Transit Trust.
Lawton Transit Trust. How do they get these vehicles? Do they have a bond issue election and raise the money that way, or what pays for these buses?
These buses are paid for through directly generated fares,
okay,
through advertising revenue, through grants from the federal government,
okay,
and through state revolving fund money.
Okay,
there is no bond issue for transit buses.
Okay, about how much money do you get, or does the Transit Trust get for each bus from, say, a federal grant? Is there a percentage there?
Well, it's 83% if it's wheelchair accessible. So
okay.
So if, and all of our buses are wheelchair accessible. So 83% of that money comes from the federal government. 17% comes from the local match. However, mm-hmm. that's generated is up to the trust and to us. But 83% comes from the feds.
Ballpark, you know, I go down to Battison and Duncan to buy a car. Those range in prices from, you know, little bitty to a great big. What do the buses run these days that the city is using?
The buses that we operate?
Yes, sir.
Those buses, I believe they cost $104,000 a piece.
Okay. So
that's the full-size buses. Now, the paratransit buses are more in the range of $60,000 to $65,000 a piece.
Okay. So if we, just to make the math easier, 83% of $100,000 is $83,000, which the federal government is paying.
Correct, yes.
So it'd be just a little bit more than that.
That is correct.
Okay. Do those buses come with a warranty that's by the manufacturer, or do you have your own maintenance facility?
Both.
Both. Okay, so
they come with your standard warranty like you would buy, you know, similar to buying your own a personal vehicle.
Right.
You know, they come with so many miles of warranty or so many years worth of coverage on certain parts. And then we also do have our own in-house maintenance staff that works on the buses on a daily basis.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, how long ago has it been since the city or the Transit Trust has bought buses?
2002 was the original purchase of the fixed route buses that we have now.
Okay.
And there haven't been any additional fixed route buses purchased since then.
Okay. And those were all brand new, or did we buy any used?
They were new.
Brand new. Okay. Mm-hmm. And on the warranty, warranties run out. And are you all having any maintenance issues right now with any of the buses?
Yeah, we are actually. We, you know, with the exception of daily maintenance, you know, we have major components on the vehicles that tend to get old, and
okay,
we've been running these buses going on 7 years now. We've been having some pretty significant axle issues with the front end axles.
Is that just normal for this type of bus, or is it?
No, I would not say that it's normal. It's not normal.
You think it's a manufacturer defect, maybe?
It's debatable. I mean, we have kind of given up on that. We did debate that with the manufacturer in the beginning, but you know, we realize that if they're going to be fixed, we're going to have to fix them ourselves. So we just, you know, we've rolled with the punches and worked with what we've got, and I commend our maintenance staff for the work they've done with these vehicles, because there's definitely much better vehicles out there.
Okay, so is the city looking, or the Transit Trust Authority, are they looking to maybe purchase new buses in the near future?
I will be producing and proposing a capital replacement program to the trust prior to this next year's budget discussions. We did take some capital replacement in the last budget, which was removed. Tight budget year that the city's in, that was removed out of the budget. But we will be taking a plan. We won't be taking a plan to ask to replace all the buses at one time. I don't think that's the way to go about it, and I don't think that it's the most effective way when it comes to dealing with maintenance issues in the future.
Okay.
When you buy vehicles of this nature, they tend to parts tend to wear at the same rate. So mm-hmm. when you get, you know, the buses that are 2 years old, this is going to happen. Buses that are 4 years old, this is going to happen. So when you stagger those, that program, that replacement program, you don't necessarily encounter all those issues at the same time.
I'm guessing an axle replacement's a fairly expensive proposition, is it not?
Sure it is.
About what does an axle replacement cost?
Well, just for the axle itself, you may pay $1,700.
Okay.
So, you know, depending on how many hours it takes of manpower, then of course you have the labor aspect of it.
Okay.
And any additional parts, seals, bearings, you know, things that, that might go along with it.
Okay, what about tires? Is that something that you all replace constantly too?
No, not so much. I mean, we've had pretty good luck with tires. We probably replace them more than comparably to other cities. And in some cities, I mean, it just depends on the roads, and it depends on the condition of the roads, and the type of vehicle.
Okay. Now let's go on to a little bit different issue with ridership. Recently, the Lawton Public Schools has changed their busing policy for its district. Have y'all seen an increase in ridership since that has occurred?
You know, we've been seeing increases in ridership ever since we started. I wouldn't say that there was any spike whenever the LPS changed their policy on busing, but we have seen, you know, we carry a lot of kids. We carried a lot of kids last year before the policy changed. But I wouldn't go as far as saying that there's been a spike, you know, following that policy change.
Okay, so you haven't seen any significant increase, in other words.
That is correct.
Okay. What is your typical growth for ridership then?
Well, I mean, we carry, like I say, we're carrying nearly 40,000 passengers a month now. And, you know, to give you kind of a perspective of what type of increase that is over last, that was for September. So let's look at last September. Last September, we carried 32,000 passengers versus 39,000 this September, which was a 20% increase.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of that, I can't help but say, is got to be related to gas prices, because I couldn't tell you what gas cost last September, but I guarantee it wasn't $3.50 like it was this September.
Right.
So, you know, times are hard for a lot of people nowadays, and so everything is costing people more.
You mentioned gas prices. Let's talk about that. What do y'all pay for gas?
Well, we pay whatever the bidded price is. So we bid out diesel.
So the buses run on diesel.
That is correct.
Now, do you have somebody here in the office that does the purchasing for you, or how does that work?
Well, my maintenance director actually contacts the City of Lawton Purchasing Department and lets them know that we need to order diesel, and then they bid it out to their list of vendors.
Okay, so the City of Lawton actually purchases on behalf of y'all.
They bid on behalf of us. We pay for it.
Okay, so they bid on behalf of y'all.
Using their approved vendors list.
Okay, and so say you need 60,000 gallons of diesel. I don't know if that's a lot or...
That's a lot.
We have
a 6,000-gallon tank.
Okay, so let's say 6,000 gallons. Your maintenance director calls, I guess, the buyers at the City of Lawton and says, we need you to bid for us diesel fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, how much? And then they bid it out. And they say, yes, we have your diesel fuel. It's going to be delivered. You pay a check to whoever, right?
That is correct.
Okay. What do y'all spend on that average? What did y'all spend last month on diesel fuel?
Oh, I'd hate to try to quote you a number. I can give you our annual budget.
Okay. What's the annual? What are y'all budgeted for?
I think this year was $471,000.
Okay. Do y'all pay the same taxes that I, as a consumer, pay, or do you not pay taxes because the city's bidding it out?
We pay, we don't pay all the taxes that a regular commuter is going to pay.
Okay.
But we do get a little bit of a break on the taxes.
Okay. And I guess by buying 6,000 gallons or so, you know, at a time, you get a little bit better price because you're buying in bulk. Is that correct?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit. Okay.
Not a whole lot.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your maintenance facility. I drove up into off Bishop Road and saw a new building knock on the door, and they said, oh, it's not here yet. Are y'all building a new maintenance facility or a new office?
We're building a new administration facility.
Okay. Is your office going to be moving to that?
Yes, it will.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that office.
Well, right now, let's start with what we have now.
Okay.
Right now, we have about 1,000 square feet of administration facility. That's going to house the director of operations, the director of maintenance, the administration manager, dispatchers, supervisors, myself. So we have a lot of people crammed into 1,000 square feet of office. And that also includes a little driver's break area and kind of a commons area. So what we're doing is we're going from 1,000 square feet into a 4,000 square foot building. that will allow for additional offices. It'll allow for training space to where we can do in-house training on site. Now, we do train all of our drivers, and we do hold safety trainings in-house, but we just don't have a place to do them here, so we tend to do those at other places. The new building's 4,000 square feet. Like I said, it'll have additional offices. It'll have a training room, a conference room, a larger area for drivers to rest and relax during, let's say, the splits that I mentioned earlier, split shifts. And you drove up onto a nice concrete parking lot, which we didn't have before. All of our facility before was a gravel, dirt parking lot that we were parking buses on, and employees were parking their cars on. So that's a benefit that we're going to see with our new facility. Additionally, we're going to have separation from the moving company that's adjacent to us to the east. Before, we didn't have that security. So when this facility is finished, we'll have fencing that'll completely separate our facility from their facility, providing much-needed security and safety for the system. So the new building, like I said, is 4,000 square feet. Now, the building that we're sitting in right now is 4,000 square feet. And this building, we will still operate out of this building, but it'll be 100% maintenance in this building. The maintenance director will stay in this building where his office will remain. But we will transform one of our bays. We have currently a big portable shed in there that we store parts in. So that shed will come out. We'll gain an additional drive-through bay for maintenance. And we have built on the north end of this building a wash bay that will be used only by us, that we can wash our vehicles and keep those vehicles clean.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the property. Is this property that Denison City of Lawton property?
This is actually property that's owned by a private citizen here that actually leased the facility to us.
Okay. Is there any property that the City of Lawton has that this property, or that we could have done this on?
You'd have to ask the City of Lawton then.
Okay. Let's talk about some other issues with buses. Recently, before the Transit Trust, you had asked that the trust approve the purchase or lease of two buses.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about those buses.
Well, as I mentioned, we've had some issues with these with the buses that we have, acquiring parts to make repairs. So in an attempt to not sacrifice service and get ourselves in a situation where we have vehicles that are parked out on the lot that can't operate and provide the service that we guarantee each day, we have gone and looked at different options to get some additional buses in here. And of course, cost is important. So what we did, I spoke with leasing companies that actually lease new equipment to you and finance you, and it's a lease purchase type agreement that you finance over a period of years. That's a pretty costly experience because you're paying finance charges and you're paying for the vehicle plus finance charges. And then another option that we looked at was, of course, buying new buses. That's expensive, and takes a while to get buses. It's not like going down to your local car lot and picking out a car and buying it and taking it home that day.
Mm-hmm.
When you go out and buy buses using Federal Transit Administration money, you go through a lengthy bid process where you create a spec. You go out and publicize that spec, and vendors respond, and the process can go anywhere from 8 to 10 months to actually get buses on site. So one option that we did look at was being that we are a managed by McDonald Transit. McDonald Transit, like I said, operates in part or whole 31 different transit systems across the country. So those systems tend to have a lot of vehicle inventory. So what we did is we looked to Lubbock, which is relatively close to here, within 4 hours, and they had some vehicles that they needed to get off their inventory because of the FTA spare ratio requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went out there, and myself and my maintenance director went out to Lubbock and examined these buses, and maintenance director did a bumper to bumper on them, and so we're actually going to lease a couple of those buses, get them here, and help alleviate some of our issues that we have with bus shortages. So we'll do a short-term lease. It'll be about a 4-month lease, and then those buses will go to auction, and then the trust has authorized us to bid a specified amount for each of those buses at the auction to purchase the buses.
What if another city comes in and bids a higher amount for those and you lose those buses?
Well, you know how an auction goes. So, I mean, you're not the high bidder, then you don't get the product.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess it's always a possibility. But one of the good things about it is these buses will go on to the City of Lubbock's website to mm-hmm. auction, and they're going to be sold as is, where is. So, you know, like the likelihood that somebody's going to come in and say, I'm going to bid and buy these RTS transit buses, 35-foot transit bus, is pretty unlikely.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit, as is, where is. Those buses will be here in Lawton. When do we expect to have those here and operating?
Well, we'll take the lease agreement to the trust on November 11th. City of Lubbock has to take the lease agreement to their council on November the 6th. So theoretically, we can say that mid-November we should have those buses here.
And should either party side no for whatever reason, then it's off the table?
I suppose, but okay. The trust has already authorized us to do this. So,
okay.
And the City of Lubbock has already done this with some other buses that they have. Pretty much exactly the same agreement, but that was with Mount Rainier National Park, which we manage that system as well.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about these. What year are these buses?
They're 1996 NovaBus RTS 35-foot, 35-passenger transit buses.
So they're completely different than what we have right now.
They're completely different than what we have. They're more a traditional transit bus like you would see in Oklahoma City or Tulsa, any of the Dallas, Fort Worth. It's a traditional transit bus.
Okay, now you mentioned earlier the buses we have are only 7 years old and facing significant maintenance issues.
That's correct.
Going to a bus that's even 6 years older than that, are there going to be significant maintenance issues that we're going to have to deal with?
We don't foresee that's going to happen. I mean, we can't predict the future, but you know, you're not comparing apples to apples whenever you're comparing our bus to this other bus. Our bus is a medium-duty, 7-year useful life transit bus. These are a heavy-duty transit bus that has a useful life of 12 years. Now, yes, we are approaching the useful life on our vehicles, and this useful life is something that's established by the Federal Transit Administration.
Right.
Our buses, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that operates our buses anywhere in this country.
Okay.
Because they don't make them anymore, they don't sell them anymore, and they didn't have very good luck selling them whenever they did make them. These transit buses that we're buying, you go to any city that has a significant size transit system, you're going to see them. They operate all over the country. The parts and maintenance support is phenomenal, and these buses are still being made today.
Okay.
So it's not unusual to see this type of bus run for 20 years if they have proper maintenance.
Okay.
And I've seen it from this transit system. I've seen these buses run for 20 years.
Okay. So these buses coming in are about 13 years old.
They're about 12 years old.
Okay. About 12 years old, coming up on 13. So you said their useful life is supposed to be 12?
Their useful life actually is the 12-year useful life on these vehicles runs out in March. So
okay.
they're coming up on 12 years.
Okay. Misunderstood you.
That's okay.
So are these the type of buses you'd like to go to if and when we do a rolling stock changeover?
This is more the style of buses that I would like to go to. I would like to go to a heavy-duty, traditional rear-engine transit bus, which is completely different than what we have now.
Now, do these have lifts or anything for handicap accessible?
They are wheelchair accessible. They do have lifts.
Okay. Well, as a rider, will I notice any differences as far as the comfort that I would have on the bus riding it? What, should it be more comfortable, less comfortable?
It's been a long time since I've ridden on one of those buses, but I recall them being very comfortable. The main difference that you're going to see in the buses is the size. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's 35 feet long versus ours that are 28. These buses are wheelchair accessible. Our buses are wheelchair accessible. These buses have the bicycle racks that allow folks to ride their bike to a route and then load that bike on the rack. So they have all the amenities that our buses have. They are a high-floor transit bus, so instead of a single-step entry, they have a two-step entry that you'll step up more than once to get into the passenger area. But with the exception of size and height, they're, you know, like I said, they're a more heavy duty bus. They are a better vehicle. They are a better bus.
How much do one of these buses cost new?
I think these buses, whenever they were purchased new, probably cost in the range of $300,000. Nowadays, you're going to pay $350,000, $375,000 for one of these type of buses, a heavy duty transit bus. You're going to pay in that range.
Now, the buses we have now, was the decision made to buy the ones we have now, were they made for cost, or, you know, you're talking a little over $100,000 versus $300,000? Mm-hmm. It was mainly the decision based on cost, or because of the streets or load, or what?
Well, I would say that that's cost.
Okay.
You know, the trust had an idea of how many buses they wanted to have, and they had their funding that they knew they had to fit within that budget, and so they worked within their budget.
Okay. And you would be recommending, I guess, to the trust authority coming up for the larger buses such as this, or are there other buses that would be smaller that would be less expensive?
Well, we can't afford to have a smaller bus. Okay. We have situations where we have passengers sitting on laps, we have passengers standing, and this is, you know, we carry a lot of kids, and we carry a lot of we carry a wide range of people, and contrary to popular belief, and it's not so much anymore, but people don't ride the bus all day long. You know, people ride the bus to get to their destination. People ride the bus to get home from their destination. So when you see a bus that may only have 2-3 people on it, that doesn't necessarily mean that people aren't riding the bus. It means that people aren't riding the bus around all day long. So, you know, we can't afford to go to a bus with fewer seats, smaller buses.
Okay. You expect the changeover to new buses. When would be a good outside date to start seeing new buses other than the two that you have recently leased?
I can't give you that. You know, like I said, we deal with the trust, and the trust has to authorize the purchase of additional vehicles. So, you know, depending on what they decide to do whenever we propose this, our plan, that'll determine. So, I mean, let's say that the trust decides in July to authorize, you know, in a new budget. Let's say that in our next budget that starts in July, that the trust authorizes us to purchase some vehicles. Like I said, it'll take 8 to 10 months to actually, because people don't stock buses on lots.
Right.
You know, they build them to spec. So whenever we come up with a contract with a bus company, a bus manufacturer, then they're going to build it exactly how we want it. Which means everything from the seat, you know, the colors on the seat, to the paint job, to the number of video cameras inside. So they'll build it to spec. So it takes a while.
Okay, and so just doing the math in my head, you mentioned earlier that y'all bring in income about $30,000 a year or a month?
That's correct.
Okay.
A month.
Okay, and that includes ridership, correct, or is that just ridership?
Well, it varies. I mean, we have advertising contracts that we manage as well. So, depending on sometimes we have people that pay for an entire year of advertising in 1 month.
Okay.
So that'll put in spikes. But I would say that the average revenue over the period of the most recently completed fiscal year was around $30,000 a month. That's correct.
About how much did y'all pay to the Transit Trust last year, fiscal year 07-08? That just ended in June.
Well, I don't know that you understand how our funding works. We don't pay the trust. That's the trust's revenue.
Right.
So the trust actually contributes money, or the city contributes money to Lawton Transit Management Incorporated in order to match those federal grants.
Okay.
So we don't pay the trust anything. That's their revenue.
Okay. Well,
so I guess the answer to your question is none.
Okay.
We don't pay the trust anything.
Okay, let me go back to where I'm going. If a bus costs $300,000, okay, mm-hmm. How is that going to get paid for?
83% of that comes from the federal government, and 17% comes from local money.
Okay, now that 17%, how has that come from? Has that come from ridership, or has that come from my water bill?
It comes from a variety of different places. It comes from ridership, the directly generated funds that come from ridership. It comes from the directly generated funds that come from advertising revenues. It comes from state revolving fund money that comes from the state of Oklahoma, and it comes from the general fund. Now,
okay.
How that money gets to the general fund, that's out of my hands. I don't know how that money gets to the general fund. The trust obligates that money to us. Now, how they determine where they're going to get that money from is that's their doing.
Okay. I have just two other quick questions. World Series predictions.
Oh, I think it's over tonight.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
You don't think that the rain, you know, could kind of put a spark in Tampa Bay last night?
No, I don't think so. I think it's over. I think the Phillies are going to take it.
I think the Phillies are going to take it. Okay, and my last question is presidential predictions.
Oh, I don't like to talk politics, so I'm going to pass on that one.
Politics, okay. Well, Mr. Scherer, I thank you very much for coming on the show. Would you like to come back again?
Anytime. I'd love to.
Okay, absolutely. Again, everybody, is there a website for the Lats?
There is. Our website is www.ridelats.com.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of good schedule information, and we have a rolling banner that gives updates and detours and things like that.
Okay. I have another quick question. The paratransit.
You didn't touch on that much.
And I do apologize to our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about the paratransit
service? The paratransit service is a demand responsive curb-to-curb service for disabled passengers who, because of their disability, are either unable to get to a bus route or they're unable to get from the bus stop to their final destination. So basically what that is folks call in, or actually to take a step back, they fill out an application that's partially filled out by them, and the rest of it's is filled out by their physician. So the application goes into personal information: where do you live, what's the nature of your disability, what's the terrain where you live, what's the terrain where you're trying to go, does your disability prevent you from utilizing the fixed route, and so they fill out that application, they submit it to us, and we make a determination based on either speaking to that person, based on the information that they provided, and based on the information that their doctor provided. So once they're approved for that service, they would, let's say somebody wanted to ride tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Today's Tuesday. If they wanted to ride on Wednesday, they call up until 5 o'clock today and schedule that trip. So they call the day before at least and say, I'd like to be picked up at my home at this address, taken to Walmart to shop, or taken to the doctor, or taken to visit a friend or family. So there's no limit as far as where they can go, other than it has to be within 3/4 of a mile of our fixed routes. Mm-hmm. So we can't take them out of town. We can't take them, much farther than where our fixed routes go.
Okay.
But we provide the same service. We try to provide the same service area that we provide our fixed route riders, that we provide to our paratransit riders.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate it, and thank you very much for coming on the show.
Not a problem.
And that website, again, is www.ridelats.com. And just so in case y'all didn't figure it out, Mr. Scherer did graduate from Texas Tech University. He is a Red Raider, and I wish his Red Raiders all the best of luck this weekend up against the University of Texas. It's going to be an exciting game. What do you think?
Oh, I think Tech's taking it. I think it's going to be a close game. As you know, I am biased, but I think Tech has the skills that they need to beat Texas this year. We don't do it very often. I think we beat them once in the last 7 years. But like I said earlier, you know, home field advantage is huge for Tech. So we've got some players, and we've got some guys that are out there with the fire to win this game this weekend. So we hope that all the OU lovers and Texas haters are cheering for the Red Raiders this weekend.
Well, that's certainly true. You want to make any basketball predictions for the season coming up?
No, I don't make predictions on basketball.
Okay. Well, again, thank you all for listening. My website is www.lawtontowncrier.com, and please send me an email if you enjoyed today's show at garrett@lawtontowncrier.com. And this has been the Lawton Town Crier. Thank you for joining us.